Moon 2.0. The first contestant is in the starting blocks. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Dr. Robert Richards, founder of the one of the founders of the International Space University. We're here to talk about an announcement made on Thursday about the first team to complete registration for the $30 million Google Lunar X Prize. Bob, thanks very much for taking some time out of what has been an exciting but tiring day for you.
Very happy to be here. This is a great way to wind it up, actually.
Before we get too far into this, tell our listeners a little about your background.
Well, I've been involved in the space industry and the commercial space sector for 20 or 25 years, not within the more traditional NASA or space agency realm, but developing institutions and ventures in space that are more public oriented and education oriented. So the creation of the International Space University, which I accomplished with my colleagues Peter Diamandis and Todd Hawley, was an artifact of the post Apollo disappointment that a lot of us felt, where we became into career mode in our growth, and we didn't have the careers that we thought we would have in being able to go to space. So the International Space University was created as a beacon and a facility to attract many young people into the space arena, which we think is very, very exciting. And there's a lot of commercial opportunity in space, too, that's only starting to be realized.
Well, now tell us about Odyssey Moon. That's the name of your team. Who else is on board, and what do they bring to the table?
Well, Odyssey Moon is a multinational team. It's headquartered in the Isle of Man. Many of your listeners may not know where the Isle of Man is. I certainly did not a few years ago. But if you look it up, you'll find that it's a self-determined nation, a small island in the middle of the Irish Sea, just off of the UK. And it's a self-determined country, meaning it has its own parliament. It comes under the UK protectorate as a Commonwealth country. It's not unlike Canada. We have our own parliament. We have, I'm a Canadian, by the way.
Okay.
But we make our own laws. But we don't maintain, a large defense industry or anything like that. So the Isle of Man is known as an international finance center. It has, in recent years, become a predominant player in the international satellite communications markets. So it was a natural domicile for us to look to because it has a very innovative and forward-thinking viewpoint on space. It would like to become the Switzerland of space in the future. So it's trying to attract entrepreneurial space companies to its regime.
Well, it's got one so far.
It sure does, and it has a it's going to have a number of more, I think. So we're a multinational team. We have an international presence in technology and on our boards. We have a very strong Canadian component, and we announced today that we are, as you mentioned, the first fully registered team to compete for the Google Lunar X Prize.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit about how you envision the Google X Prize. If I understand this correctly, the Google Lunar X Prize pays a total of $30 million, but not all in one piece. Tell us how that's split up.
It's a prize purse of totally $30 million. First prize is $20 million, and the first prize is awarded for the first private team to land a robotic rover on the surface of the moon and then be able to go a distance of at least 500 meters and take a series of what they call moon casts, which are sending high-definition video and pictures of the operations on the surface of the moon. And if you can do that, you can win the $20 million. Then there's a series of bonus prizes for doing things like trying to find water on the moon or trying to survive a night on the moon, which gets very long and very cold. And there's $5 million in bonuses. So for the first place team, there's a total purse of about $25 million available. The other $5 million of the 30 is for a second place prize for the team that does some of that stuff, but just not first.
Now, is it going to take new technology, a lot of invention to get this done, or is this a project of integration of existing technologies?
I think you're going to see both. And I know that some of the other teams that are considering forming are looking at new technologies. So, and that's part of the reason for the Google Lunar X Prize, It's the reason that the XPRIZE was formed over 10 years ago, was to inspire innovation and new creative thinking. Odyssey Moon has chosen the path of mixing new technology with proven technology. We've gone to the moon before. We as a species, we know how to. I mean, it's not new technology per se. It's how do you do it in a way that's cost effective and reliable that helps create a new economic dipole between the moon, and the Earth for continuing and growing commerce. And the reason you want continuing and growing commerce is that the model that we used to go to the moon before in the 60s, Moon 1.0, as it's called, was a model of superpower strengths, of supremacy, and trying to plant a flag on the moon and do footprints for national pride. That model worked very well to motivate a nation to do it as an incredible achievement, but it did not work very well for permanence. As fast as we got to the moon, we abandoned it. Moon 2.0, the new era of lunar exploration, is about going there to stay. And going there to stay, just like when the Europeans settled the Americas, you needed to build up the infrastructure. You needed to build up the trade routes. You needed to build up the economies across the ocean. And the moon is only 3 days away. So not unlike it was in the early days of the pioneering of the Americas, we'll be looking for new trade routes. We'll be looking for new products and services and trying to establish this economic relationship, increasing the Earth's economic sphere from the orbital operations of satellites out in order of magnitude to the surface of the moon.
All right. Now, there are a couple of big pieces of this challenge that occur to me. One is the propulsion and guidance required to get there. One is the robotics and remote control and telemetry required to meet the needs of the basic Google part of the prize. And then there's the part about living through a lunar night, which, if I understand correctly, if I remember back to seventh grade, I think the lunar night's like 12 or 13 days long and gets down to minus 200 something degrees.
You're absolutely right. I wonder how many people would actually remember that. The unique thing about the moon is it has a gravitational lock with the Earth. So that means that as the moon orbits the Earth, it always has the same face. That's why you always see the same face of the moon. It goes through phases. But when you look at the moon, you always see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's because that it's rotating at the same time that it's orbiting around the Earth. It's gravitationally locked. So that means that since it takes the moon 30 days, a month, to go around the Earth, a lunar day is 2 weeks long. And that means a lunar night is 2 weeks long.
Right.
So if you're on the surface of the moon looking back at Earth, once night falls, it's going to be 14 days before sun rises again. So that's a long, cold night.
Well, and we hear meteorologists talk about radiational cooling, where clear nights the surface of the Earth loses heat. There is no atmosphere on the moon, so radiational cooling must happen in a big hurry.
It absolutely, and the temperature swings are wild. It goes from minus 200, as you said, to plus 150 as soon as you're in the sun. And these are the things that the Apollo astronauts, we had human beings, 12 people walked on the surface of the moon and had to contend with this very harsh environment. So we have to build robots. They don't complain as much as humans, but they still have, to be protected against these large swings, and not just temperature, but radiation and all the different characteristics. And the thing about the moon is that there is a little bit of atmosphere. It's a very tenuous one, but there is this very bizarre levitation of dust that appears to be magnetic in nature more than it does as atmospheric in nature.
Huh.
But it happens as the sun goes across the surface. The dust levitates up 2, 3, 4 meters. And that's going to be problematic for exploration. We have to understand that phenomenon before we start sending up systems that people are supposed to live in.
Well, sure, and robots are the ideal guinea pigs, I suppose.
They're ideal guinea pigs, that's right.
We need to take a break here. When we come back, I want to ask you more about the concept of Moon 2.0 and why, even looking way into the distance, it may make economic sense.
Absolutely.
My guest is Dr. Bob Richards, one of the founders of the International Space University, and he's now on board with Odyssey Moon, which is the first team to register for the $30 million Google Lunar XPRIZE. We'll talk more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt, talking today with Dr. Bob Richards of Odyssey Moon, the first team to complete registration for the $30 million Google Lunar X Prize. The announcement was made on Thursday. Bob, I have to ask you, I would assume, maybe you can confirm or deny, but I would assume that this is going to be a lot like the Burt Rutan flight in that there's no hope in the world that this will actually be a money-making proposition on the first one. $30 million probably will not cover your costs.
It's not going to cover the costs, and it's not intended to. As you mentioned, with the Burt Rutan competition, which was started as a $10 million prize for the first private team to be able to build a spaceship that can do a suborbital flight, it was set at $10 million for a reason. It was predicted that several times that amount of money would be needed to actually build such a spaceship, and that many teams would spend that same amount. So this is multiplier effect. So the figure of $30 million was carefully thought through by the XPRIZE Foundation. And the idea is that it's going to cover a fraction of the cost it's going to take to actually win it. Why would anybody do such a thing? It seems to be but what you have to understand is that if you look back at Burt Rutan, and it was Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, that came in to back him. Mm-hmm. They spent $30 million trying to win 10.
Right.
But what that did is that led to an industry, the personal spaceflight revolution, and they couldn't have predicted when Paul Allen made the commitment that Richard Branson of the Virgin Empire would come in and say, that's cool, I want six of those.
Right.
And thus he's building six Spaceship Twos that will carry you and me into space.
Well, it's easy to see how this would pencil out for Burt Rutan. You know, even with very little imagination, you could spreadsheet that and make it make sense. What about this? Who is going to want six of what you're doing?
Well, I believe there's going to be a moon rush. I think that you're seeing right now, this year, the beginning of a new era of lunar exploration. We kind of forgot about the moon, right? We went there, we did that, and it rises, and it's beautiful on romantic nights, but we don't think about it that much. Well, the truth is that the moon, it has resources and energy that can beneficiate the Earth. So you're definitely going to have this enormous interest of humanity to go back to the moon. China is up there with an orbiting satellite right now. Japan is up there, and India soon will be joining that. So there's a whole set of nations that are going back to the moon, not just as a source of scientific curiosity, but as a place of potential enormous value to humanity. And if that's going to happen, then you're going to have a demand for lunar products and services to reduce the cost of access to the moon, just like reducing the cost of access to space is what the personal spaceflight revolution is built on.
Well, I guess if that's your plan, then and your press release does say you have a business plan behind this, I would have to think that not the robots themselves, but some technology or procedures that you'll develop in the course of pursuing this prize will have commercial applications.
That's absolutely right. Going to the moon is hard. It's really hard. And especially for an entrepreneurial team, innovative team, that is trying to come up with low-cost, reliable systems to do so. So in the process of doing this, we're the first team to fully register, and we're very excited about that. But we're also looking forward to the entry of other teams who are going to be coming up. Competition is great because mm-hmm. they're going to be coming up with new innovative things. We're going to be watching what they're doing very closely. They're going to be watching us. And the amount of energy put and money that will be put into these activities will only reduce the cost for others to get to the moon. So we will be developing a platform of technologies. We will be innovating, and we'll also be making use of technologies that have already been proven to get to the surface of the moon, picking the best from around the world.
I'm going to ask you the question that I think will probably really annoy you to answer. How long will this take? How long do you think it'll be before one of the teams pulls this off? And I assume you think you'll be the first one.
I certainly think we're going to be the first one.
Biased opinion, but okay.
It's a biased opinion, and we wouldn't have put in our candidacy if we didn't think so. But one of the things that, and I think the answer to that is that the time frame for the prize that has been set up by Google and the XPRIZE is a very reasonable one. The prize money is on the table right now. It started on September 13th. The mission clock started, and the full prize money is on the table until 2012. At that point, the first prize is reduced by $5 million, and by 2014, all of the money is off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So all the teams are coming in within this 2012 time frame, saying, "Geez, we have 5 years to do this." So I think that 3 years is a really aggressive time scale to imagine creating a moon capability from scratch. And I believe 5 years is more than enough time. So I think somewhere in that realm, they've hit the sweet spot, and we're going to be able to see private missions to the surface of the moon.
Well, Moon 1.0 was possibly the greatest demonstration of all time of brute force. Moon 2.0 sounds like it's going to be a little more of a finesse issue. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it really is. The Moon 1.0, as we talked about before, was inspired by superpower politics. You know, the capabilities of entire nations were mobilized by a charismatic leader that said, "We shall go to the moon." And when that vision was put forward, it was extremely bold. The technologies didn't exist that they needed. They had to invent the materials that had to go into the technologies that didn't exist. You know, President Kennedy, in that visionary speech in 1961, set out a challenge that by today's standards probably would not be possible to set out. It just wouldn't be possible. But because of the circumstances of the time, the United States and the Soviet Union were in this battle of supremacy, and it allowed an enormous achievement to take place that I don't think you could ever replicate. But it was also a false start.
Mm-hmm.
It was a false start in the sense that as quickly as the United States achieved getting humans there, 12 people walked on the moon, and in 1972 with Apollo 17, the last men on the moon left. They walked back into their craft, they closed the door, they came back to Earth, and we never went back. This time, with Moon 2.0, everybody's going to get to participate. We have technologies with web-enabled virtual presence. Even with robotic explorers, we'll be able to have the feeling of being there, the sensory perception of the robots. We'll be able to be with them and look back on Earth, and we'll try to replicate some of the feelings that those astronauts had standing on another world, looking back at Earth, that changed their perspective on humanity.
That will be very exciting to come down that ladder in a virtual sense from our living rooms.
Absolutely, I think so. And it's not just going to be in living rooms. It's going to be on handheld wireless devices. It's going to be in virtual reality chat rooms. It'll be every technology that we can muster to make sure that it's a participatory experience that everyone can get excited about, but especially young people.
And what a masterstroke for Google to create web content. I mean, it doesn't get much more fantastic than this.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. It is a masterstroke, but the origins of the commitment to the prize are actually much simpler. Google thinks it's a very cool thing that's going to inspire the creation of new technologies, and it's going to bring more young people into the fringe of high technology. So the benefits that will come to Google with the web hits, because there'll be very, very exciting content, I think that's a bonus. But that it wasn't a highly calculated maneuver. It was simply that this would be a really cool thing to do. And Larry Page is a member of the board of trustees of the XPRIZE Foundation. And when they were contemplating what should we do after the suborbital prize, the moon was a natural step. And Google backed up and said, "We'll do that. That should be fun."
We're going to run a little over on this, but I have to ask you one more question. And that deals with some of the political aspects of exploiting resources on the moon? First of all, from a practical standpoint, are they going to be useful primarily for further space exploration as kind of a stepping stone? Or are we actually talking about bringing back ore or chemicals or there's no oil up there, but whatever else we could bring back from the moon to Earth? That just sounds astronomically expensive, if you'll excuse that pun.
I think it's going to be the equivalent of oil up there. And we're not going to know until we get there all of the resources that are at our hand. And we will, by doing so, engage the planet on a very interesting discussion. Part of the reason for the prize, part of the reason for Odyssey Moon's involvement, is we need to start the dialogue of how we start to utilize off-Earth resources to help save the Earth and relieve the tremendous pressure that we're putting on the environment from the use of fossil fuels. And there is infinite energy and resources in space, and the moon is a natural eighth continent just offshore, and we can make use of these and help beneficiate the Earth.
Well, Bob, you've taken on a big job. It sounds like one of the coolest jobs I could imagine, and we wish you the best of luck with it, and please keep in touch.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
My guest has been Dr. Robert Richards of Odyssey Moon. You can find out more about it by going to the web and looking up www.odysseymoon.com. That's Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.